If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there. Of course, obviously, we're observing baptism today, and we're going to see 10, 12 people follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And, you know, baptism is very, very important. We're going to talk about the significance of it. We're going to look at the baptism of Jesus. Why did Jesus get baptized? And baptism basically is an act of obedience. And I want us to see from Matthew chapter 3 how baptism was an act of obedience that Jesus did. And he's given us an example that we are to follow. And then I want to relate it to how obedience is something that we need to be about. To be a follower of Christ, we need to be obedient to the things that he says. We're saved by grace through faith, but we're saved by grace that works, by faith that works. And there are certain things we need to do. So to be obedient will require us to take action. And to take action means that we're going to overcome some obstacles that may be hindering us from being obedient to what God wants us to do. And you have to be willing to do what you do for heavenly approval and not for earthly applause. Because from whomever you're seeking your approval from, that's the person that you're going to, you know, seek to live for. That's going to probably dictate the way you live your life. So look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 13 through 17. Very quickly, look at the baptism of Jesus. Look at the whole issue of obedience, and we'll kind of go from there. So here's what it says in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So here we have Jesus being baptized. Now, if you look in the Gospels, you don't have anything about Jesus since Luke 2:49, where Jesus is in the temple. He's 12 years old. His parents are looking all over the place for him. And he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And now he is 30 years of age. He's been a carpenter in the area of Galilee, in the town of Nazareth. It's 30 years now. He's 30 years old. And because he's in perfect communion with the Father, he knows it's time for him to begin his ministry. He knows it is time for him to go to the Jordan, to where John the Baptist is baptizing, and he is to be baptized. And so here is Jesus. He has to be baptized. He has to follow the will of the Father. So he goes from where he's at in Nazareth. He goes south to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. So Jesus, to be baptized, he was obedient. His obedience took action. He had to leave from where he was to go to where he needed to be, and he had to close the carpenter shop up in Nazareth and begin the ministry that the Father had for him to do for 3.5 years. So obedience, as we see from the life of Jesus, requires action. So a lot of times people say, you know, I want to do what God wants me to do, but they don't ever do anything. Sometimes people may even pay lip service, and they may even say, "God, I'll do what you ask me to do," or, "I know God wants me to do this," or, "I know Scripture says that I need to do this," or, "I need to stop doing that." And we know that, and we may say that, but if we don't do it, we're not obedient. Let me read this parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 21, just very briefly, verse 28. Jesus says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work for me today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it, and he went. Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of the Father?" Then they said to him, "The first." The one that said, "I wouldn't," but then he wound up going and doing it. You can say all you want to about how much you love Jesus, how much you want to follow God, but if you don't do what he says, you're just giving lip service. So if you want to be obedient, you have to take action. Obedience requires action. Now, let me say this also from the baptism of Jesus. Obedience will also overcome obstacles. As Jesus goes down to the Jordan, John the Baptist, he's been baptizing people. He's been preaching a message of repentance for the remission of sins, a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He would baptize those who had an awareness of their sins and wanted to confess and wanted to get cleansed from their sins. And you know, here comes Jesus. Jesus is fully God and fully man, the incarnation. Jesus had no sin to confess. He had no sin that he needed to have remission from his sins. He had no sin. But yet he is coming down to John the Baptist for him to be baptized. And John the Baptist sees him and he says, whoa, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And it says he tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized. Now, the word there is in the imperfect tense, which means it's a continual action, something they didn't just do once, but he did several times. He said, no, you don't understand, Jesus. I can't baptize you. You need to be baptized. You know, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized by me. And so here's John the Baptist trying to prevent Jesus from being baptized. Now think about that. John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the greatest of all the prophets. Yeah, here he is, the greatest of all the prophets, telling the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you don't need to be baptized. John was well-intentioned, but he was misguided. At this point, John the Baptist was standing as an obstacle in the way of Jesus fulfilling the will of the Father. And Jesus had to tell him, let it be. This is in order to fulfill all righteousness. So why would Jesus need to be baptized? Well, Jesus came to identify with sinful humanity. That was one of the ways that he was going to identify with sinful humanity. Also, it would serve as the inauguration of his own ministry. It would serve to validate the message and the ministry of John the Baptist. And as it would fulfill all righteousness, it was what the Father wanted him to do, because it would be a picture of the coming death, burial, and resurrection. So here is Jesus leaving where he was, going to where he needed to be, taking action to be obedient to the will of the Father. As he's being obedient to the will of the Father, John the Baptist tries to hinder him, tries to prevent him from doing what he knows he ought to do. And Jesus has to say, no, I've got to do this. Now, if you want to be obedient to what God wants you to do, you've got to be willing to overcome obstacles. You know, sometimes there might be something in your life that you know you need to do, God wants you to do. It's pretty well explicitly stated in Scripture. You don't have any doubts about it. But all it takes is just a little something, and you don't do it. You don't do it. If you know God wants you to do something, then you need to do whatever you need to do it. Do not be easily deterred when you know you're doing what God wants you to do. Let me read something to you that happened in the life of Jesus from Luke chapter 9. Jesus is journeying. He's going along, and all of a sudden this guy kind of yells out to him. He says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replies to him. He says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, okay, you say you want to do whatever I want you to do. You want to follow me. You're not even counting the cost. There's some hardships that are involved, and you better count the cost. Sometimes when people say, hey, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you really don't mean it, because if God asked you to do something, you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't do it. So if you ever say, Lord, just show me whatever I need to do, you really need to mean it. You don't just need to throw that around. Here's another guy. Jesus approaches him. He says, hey, follow me. And he says, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Kind of seems kind of callous a little bit on the front end. But here's what this guy was doing. As a son, he felt like he had an obligation to go bury his father whenever his father would die. His father wasn't even dead at the time. And so here he is using a relationship with his father as an excuse not to follow Jesus. That's why Jesus said, hey, let the dead bury their own dead. Let the spiritually dead bury the physical dead. In other words, don't use that as an excuse. Sometimes if you know what you need to do, you can use people in your life as an excuse for you not to be obedient to what God wants you to do. Well, what will my wife think? What will my kids think? What will my boss think? You can use people as an excuse for not being obedient to what God's called you to do. Now, let me just say this. God will not lead you to do anything that violates His Word. Okay, so just throw that out. God's not going to lead you to do something that's sinful, that's wrong. But sometimes God leads you to do something, and it may require a measure of sacrifice on your part. It may be tough. And so sometimes you may look at others in your life and say, well, this may have a detrimental effect on my relationship with such and such, so I don't need to do it because I'm looking out for that person. And you're using a relationship in your life as a reason for why you won't do what God wants you to do. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. So then he sees another one. He sees another guy. And this guy says, Jesus, he says, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go bid them farewell at my house. And Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This guy said, I'll follow you, but let me go back first. And you know, I'll come after you, but I need to go back first. This guy has a divided mind. He's not wholehearted. He's not fully committed. And that's why Jesus said, anybody that puts their hand to the plow, if you're going to plow, you better plow a straight furrow. You better go straight with it, because if you're looking back the whole time, it's going to go sideways. And that's not how you plow. So let me say this. If you know what God wants you to do, and you know something you need to do, do it with all you got. Don't be sheepish about it. Don't be Casper Milquetoast about it. Don't be like a little lamb doing it. If you know God wants you to do something, do it. Just put your hand to the plow and get it done. Don't be mealy-mouthed about it. Put your hand to the plow, get it done. If you know what you need to do, whatsoever your hand finds to do, Scripture says, do it with all your might as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive your reward. So do it. So here's Jesus. He's going to get baptized. It's the will of the Father. John the Baptist tries to hinder him. You know, later on in Jesus' ministry, Peter would try to prevent him from going to the cross. And Jesus would have to deal with Peter on that. Well-intentioned, but misguided. And so what happens? Jesus is baptized. When he comes up, the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven comes and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus received heavenly approval at that time. I mean, the voice of the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit coming upon him like a dove. Let me just say this. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is, you know, it's intriguing. I mean, here's Jesus Christ. He's fully God and fully man. And Jesus in his deity, he needed nothing. But in his humanity, he needed to be strengthened. Jesus would get tired. He'd get hungry. He'd have to sleep. He would bleed. He needed to be strengthened in his humanity. And as he began this ministry, the 3.5-year ministry that would culminate in his death, burial, and resurrection, he needed strengthening in his humanity. And that's why when Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he went to the synagogue there in Nazareth, preached his first message, and he would quote from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach. To heal the brokenhearted, sight to the blind, delivery to the captives. Man, at his baptism, Jesus being obedient, taking action, going from where he was to where he needed to be, overcoming the obstacle of John the Baptist saying, no, you don't need to. He said, yes, I've got to. And then receiving the heavenly approval. The voice from heaven, the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, the Spirit of God descending upon him to strengthen him. See, he's getting that heavenly approval and that strengthening from above. Whoever you are living for, whosever approval you want the most, they will probably dictate the way you live your life. If you fear man more than you fear God, man, when the pressure's applied and a decision has to be made and you can either please God or please man, you will please man. So you got to make up your mind. Do you want heavenly approval or do you want earthly applause? Jesus got the heavenly approval. And this is all at his baptism. And then right after that, he would be thrust into the wilderness and he'd be tempted after 40 days of fasting by the devil. So here we are today. We're talking about being obedient. require an action to overcome obstacles, heavenly approval, not earthly applause. And we got this baptistry set up right here. Now, why in the world would people be baptized? Well, we're told to. We're told in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what Jesus said. So we are commanded to baptize. I mean, it is a commandment. Therefore, it is an act of obedience, okay? Also, it's a testimony to others. If you look in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people received Christ. They were baptized. You go to Acts chapter 8, there's an Ethiopian eunuch. He's saved on the road, and after he gets saved, received Christ, he gets baptized. You go to Acts chapter 10, a Roman centurion, Cornelius, he receives Christ, he gets saved, and then he's baptized. You go to Acts chapter 16, a Philippian jailer, he and his family receive Christ, accept Christ and his sacrifice on the cross on their behalf, and then they are baptized. You go to Acts chapter 18, there's a guy named Crispus, he's a ruler of a synagogue in Corinth. He receives Christ at great expense, then he's baptized. See, what baptism is, it's a testimony to others. It's a way of you saying, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient payment for my sin. I believe he was buried and he was resurrected from the grave, paid in full. I can go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for my sins and I've accepted what he's done on my behalf. He is my Lord and Savior. And so here it is, an act of obedience. It's a symbol of salvation. You're in the water, represents your life before Christ. You go under the water, that represents dying with Christ. And when you are brought up out of the water, it represents being resurrected with Jesus Christ. It's your way of saying, I believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is my testimony. And for everybody that sees that, they look at you and they see what you do, and they say, that person belongs to Jesus. Now, baptism does not save you. It's symbolic. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. Okay? It's symbolic, but it's very, very important. It's important to God. It's so important that Jesus Christ himself was baptized. It's a testimony to others. It's an act of obedience. Let me tell you something that happened this week. And I did not plan for this to happen, but it happened on a great week. But it was not by plan, not by intention. Does anybody here, do you have a nervous habit? You know, I told the first service, you know, I used to have to go to those cheerleading competitions with one of my daughters. Lost my mind in Houston County. I mean, oh, anyway, loud. You know, to get and do that before they do their cheers. I don't understand it. But anyway, you know, we have nervous habits. But nervous habit I have is I'll take my wedding ring off. And I'll do like this and put it back on. Anybody ever do that? I mean, I just do it sometimes. I'll get nervous. I'll just kind of do that. Or I'll be thinking about something and I'll just do this. And you know, I can gauge my weight by my wedding ring. Anybody else? Anybody? Come on, seriously. I do. I mean, I can say, okay, I eat good today. You know, I can. I really can. Stephanie was gone a couple of weeks ago. She went down to the beach with the kids for spring break. And I stayed in Bremen, and she was gone for a week, and she came back after we said, you know, welcomed each other and all that. She looked at me, and she said, what you been eating this week? I knew my ring was tight. I said, she said, you've been having barbecue, haven't you? You look puffy. I said, I went to Shane's one time. I went the Right Way twice. And I went to Bilbo's once. You know, it's four times in a week. It's not, you know, I don't think that's a lot. But it must be. And I eat donuts. And I don't know why it is, but barbecue and donuts, that's just my weaknesses. I could live off barbecue and donuts. I would die, and, you know, in a couple of years, but it would, I don't know. But anyway, she said, you're puffy. So I knew, okay, I got to cut back. I got to drink some more water, whatever I need to do, vinegar, mothers, whatever. So, you know, I started, you know, trying to do all that kind of stuff. And I'm driving this week. this past week, this past Monday, I'm driving. I don't know why I'm doing this while I'm driving, but I'm driving doing this. I don't know how I'm steering, but I'm doing this, you know, while I'm driving a car. And my ring falls off, goes between the seats. I know if I don't need to text and drive, I don't need to try to find my wedding ring and drive. So, you know, I'm driving to see where it's at, and so I'm, you know, trying not to do it. And then it goes down further. So I thought, okay, I'll get it when I stop. Well, it went down into the crevices. You know what I mean? Into that place where you're not going to get anything back. I mean, I tried to reach in there. I tried to get it. I had that. Next month, I would have had that wedding ring for 27 years. Service Merchandise, Savannah, Georgia. Okay? I mean, we were poor, and that was the place to get a good ring. That was fine. I mean, I loved the ring. I didn't want another. Stephanie wanted me to get another ring. Cost 25 years. She got something different. She wanted mine to match hers. I didn't care. I just liked my ring, but it was gone. I didn't have a, and I felt kind of weird, you know. I didn't have a wedding ring. I was like, I don't really like this, you know. And I told Stephanie about it. Next day, we went to Jared's, and I got a ring, you know. And she didn't like me not having a ring. I didn't like not having a ring. We were still just as committed to each other, still in a covenant relationship, still loved each other just as much, you know, still just as married. But there's something symbolic about this. You know what I mean? It means something to me. It means something to Stephanie. It means something to us. It's important. It gives a testimony to other folks. Hey, I got, you know, I'm in a two-person club. Sorry, you know, just it. And it means a lot. And so, you know, we had to go get another one. Now, if I were to tell Stephanie, you know, I know that wedding ring's important to you, but I don't care about it. But it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't even care if I have a, you know, she's, no, you need a ring. It means something. And if she took her rings off and said, Marty, I don't need to wear my wedding ring anymore, it doesn't, you know, we're still just married. I'd be like, I kind of like you wearing that, you know, I'm married way over my head, and I like you wearing that, you know. But, you know, it means something. It means something. Me and her both know it means something. Let me tell you something. Baptism means something. It's symbolic. Yeah. But it means something to God. He tells us, okay, I want you to give this public demonstration. I want you to give an outward expression of the inward reality about the death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to do that. It's a public testimony. I mean, you normally don't allow people to take you underwater. Okay, I don't. Okay? You don't. But when you get baptized, somebody's going to, you know, to baptize means to immerse or to dip under. That's what the word means. And it is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It perfectly illustrates the death, burial, and the resurrection. It means something to God. Okay? Jesus was baptized. It is an act of obedience. And let me just say this. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized, you say, yeah, Marty, I'm a Christian. I just don't think baptism's important. You're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. It is important. It is a public demonstration. It is something that the Lord says, you need to do this. You need to let other folks know in this fashion. And you know, in some parts of the world, when somebody gets baptized, I mean, that's their way of just crossing the Rubicon. That's their way of just being, you know, just totally letting everybody know, I know my life's going to change, and I know a lot of things are going to come against me. They're going to be bad because they live in a place where if you're baptized, it means you're fully committed to Christ, and they're going to come after you. It means something. So just let me say, if you've never been baptized, you know, we're going to have baptism. We got 10, 12 folks. You can get baptized today. Okay? Now, there's going to be reasons why you shouldn't. I didn't bring a change of clothes. Go home wet, all right? Send someone to Walmart, okay? Somebody can go to Walmart and get you some clothes. There'll be all kinds of reasons why you can't do it. But if you've never been obedient, you need to be obedient. It's important to God. Baptism's important to God. It's an act of obedience. If you can't get baptized in a place like this where folks love you, where they're going to be excited they're going to cheer you on, then it's going to be hard for you to live for the Lord when things are tough out in the world. And we got folks different ages today who've accepted Christ, and they want to give this public testimony. They want you to rejoice with them that, hey, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I've accepted him into my life. And I want y'all to know that I've done this. And this is my way of giving testimony to you guys that Jesus is alive and he's in my heart. And I belong to him. And I believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection. And if you've never done that, you know, when we get through baptizing folks, if you want to come up and be baptized, man, if you want to say, hey, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, he died on the cross for my sins, and I want y'all to know it, and I want to be obedient. And it could be that somebody's here and you know it's been 10, 15 years and you've never been baptized. You say, Marty, I know if I died, I'll go to heaven. Baptism doesn't save you. Okay? But it is an act of obedience. And somebody may say, you know, it's been 10 years, I've not been baptized. I want to just go ahead and take care of it right now. I know I should have done it before, but I haven't done it, but I want to do it. It's important. We're going to give you that opportunity today, okay? I'm going to have a word of prayer. Tyler's going to come up, and I'm going to turn it over to him. And we got several that will be baptized, and we just want y'all to rejoice with that. You're here. You're saved. Man, just rejoice in the public testimony these folks are going to give. If you're here and you've never asked Christ in your life, man, you need to do that today. Just believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Ask him for forgiveness. Believe that his death was sufficient payment on your behalf, okay? And receive him into your life. Commit yourself to him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible talks about being born again, being saved. So it's important. And if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to pray that prayer. See me or Tyler or Aaron after service. We'd love to pray with you. But if you need to do this, we want to give you that opportunity, okay? Let's pray, and I'm going to turn it over to Tyler. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to, Lord, do something that is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection. The greatest event of all history, and we get to do something that's symbolic of that, to reenact, to say that we believe, to say that you did that for us. And thank you for that. Lord, I pray your blessings upon all those that will be baptized today. Lord, for them taking the step of obedience, I just pray that you bless them in incredible ways. And Lord, there's some that need to do that today. I pray that they'd do that as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.